Hang on, I'm just going to put my glass of water down. Because we're not talkback.
No.
We don't get, we get some feedback.
Yeah.
But I was speaking to Tony at the gym.
Oh, yeah.
And Tony was a long-time listener, first-time talker.
Wow. Good on him. Good on Tony. Hello, Tony.
Yeah, Tony.
Lift those weights.
He was, yeah.
Get on that bike.
Tony's doing all
right. Do a rep.
Yeah, Tony's doing. Tony said a couple of things.
Spot you, Tony.
He was talking about being derivative because he's like a builder.
Yeah, right.
And he gets people to design. People go, "Can you design this building for me?" Then they go, "Oh, we'll take that, and we won't get you to build it."
So, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, and then he was saying that people, then when their building starts to fall down because they got a crappy builder, come to him to fix it up. He's going, "Hello."
Wow.
Anyway, Tony was saying that we're making a little mistake.
What's the mistake?
Well, apparently, when I think about it, I think he's right. We do our spoiler alerts after we've done the spoil.
Right. Like what?
I don't know. You're good on it. I'm not very good.
Like the ship sinks in the Titanic movie. I think we all know that one. But spoiler alert.
It got me to thinking. What are your classic spoiler alerts? What's the worst spoiler alert you could do in the history of film?
Oh, Crying Game.
Crying Game.
Woman's a bloke. Which they showed at my dad's film society in Blackburn, and no one knew the ending. Because the woman just walks out and she's got a huge penis. What the hell? Oh, that's a big spoiler alert. Oh,
I see dead people.
I see dead people.
There's Sixth Sense.
I saw that movie in a preview and I didn't know the twist at all because I hadn't heard anything about it. But so that's good. Definitely a big twist. I see dead people.
Yeah.
So spoiler alert. I see dead people.
Now, we've talked about spoiler alerts. And
now we're doing it, but those movies have been around forever.
Yeah, that's not, you know.
You know what I mean? What are the other big? They're the two that I can think of.
Apparently, I can't remember it. The Usual Suspects.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, where the guy was just making stuff up. He was the bad dude.
Yeah,
Kevin Spacey, which turns out's true. Topical. He's a bad dude. Yeah, he was just reading stuff off the wall, and Kaiser Sizey or whatever his name was, he made it all up, and it was him. That was a good one. Oh, Memento. With Guy Pearce?
What was that one?
Oh, I didn't understand it, but there was a big twist.
Oh, yeah, that was like a dream after eating pizza, that film.
Yeah. He'd written all the tattoos on his hands to remember stuff, yeah.
What about The Fight Game?
Oh, Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Fight Club. That's a great
twist. I've never seen that film.
Oh, would you want a spoiler alert?
Oh, this is interesting.
Spoiler alert? Do you want to know about The Fight Club?
I read about the spoiler because he's...
Edward Norton, and then he meets...
He doesn't exist.
Brad Pitt.
He's a ghost. No,
it's another part of you.
That's a pottery one. That's
ghost. That's oh, my true love can pass me by. Oh, that's The Others. That's a great twist.
Yeah, with
Nicole Kidman.
With the all ghosts. House. They're all ghosts.
They're ghosts. That's a great twist.
Geez, you're good.
But the twist we're talking about in Fight Club is it Brad Pitt and Ed Norton? Yeah, they become best friends, and they have fights, and they go out, and it's just another part of his personality. They're both him. That's the twist.
Do you reckon in your life...
Have all the twists been done?
In your life, do you reckon you might have a spoiler at the end?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be good?
What if your dad's on your deathbed, and he looks at me and goes, "Son, you're adopted," and you're like, "What? But I'm a twin, and Mum, no, that was all faked." Surely that's been a real spoiler for some people.
Yeah, I mean, being adopted is a classic where you just go, look, I mean, anyway.
There's a great book called The Wasp Factory written by Ian Banks, and that has got a great twist in the end. But anyway, I won't give it away, but that is a great book. If you want a great book to read.
Yeah, okay.
All right, you can get into that.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe we should plant something.
Oh, a twist. Maybe.
But isn't this show...
Yeah, this has got a spoiler alert. Because if you don't want to know it, you don't want to know it.
Yeah, we do work towards an outcome that you may not see coming.
Mm.
Well, you know there's an outcome.
There is an outcome. There's definitely an outcome.
God,
oh my God! Here's the music.
Sorry,
that's a spoiler alert.
I was getting really interesting.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast. What does Tony think about the preamble? Good on Tony. And so, yeah, well, we don't need to explain to Tony because he's a long-time listener, but for other people.
Other people.
Maybe people just tuned in first time ever.
Let me ask you this. If you find a new podcast, what do you do? Do you listen to the latest one and then go back to the first one?
No.
Or what do you do?
Well, that's interesting. You put me onto the Conan O'Brien podcast.
Yes.
And I always liked Conan.
Mm.
And I just listened to – I only thought there was one. One came up and it was –
What, you thought there was one podcast?
Well, I thought he just started it. And then I look back at all the other ones. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's about, 6 months old or something?
Yeah. Mm. And so what was the one you put me onto? Oh, Hannah Gadsby.
It was very good.
Friend of the show. And friend of mine. Well, I haven't seen her for a long time.
She handled herself very well on that show.
She was great.
Because she didn't try too hard. She feels very comfortable, to me, very... Well, I've only met Hannah a couple of times, and I've found her delightful.
Oh, she's great. I used to tour with her a bit, but not anymore.
Would she talk to you? Would she talk to you anymore?
Yeah, I reckon. Oh, I knew her mum, I met her dad, I knew her brother.
She's big over there now. She's touring over there now.
She's the biggest thing in the world, mate. International superstar. Who said that? Juicy. Yeah, no, good on her. She's done very well. And I tell you what, I've been doing Perth with her, and she did not the show that became famous, not Nanette, but she did a one-woman show. Then I did my one-man show. I watched her show and went, oh, she's very, very good. I've got to get up there and do mine.
I wasn't the same audience, was it?
No. That's an audience. Smaller audience.
But it always, you know, whatever someone else is doing, it always looks impressive.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I really understand how that show made it successful, because watching her in Perth, and this would be 10 years ago, I reckon, maybe a little less, her one-woman show then was pretty amazing. So she was just very good at putting together an hour of comedy that was funny and insightful or sad.
Yeah, well, did it have...
Pathos.
But
ending was really good.
Did it have a reason for being? In other words, because sometimes with the comedy festival shows, it's just someone does an hour behind a microphone, you go, what was the point of that?
No, hers was really good.
Had a point.
Yeah.
Not that you want to get too heavy-handed with your point, but you want to be entertaining, obviously.
Yeah.
But hers are very well grounded, aren't
they? Very well crafted.
Yes.
Is a good word for it.
Yeah.
Whereas I just told jokes. Anyway, here's the subjects. Here we go.
Sorry. The producer was going, you guys are just getting a little bit too soft.
Here's the subjects.
Wasabi and deaf people.
Is that what you say?
Deaf people, yeah. Hearing. I've actually asked.
Is
someone,
it hearing impaired?
Hearing impaired, but they don't mind deaf people. I think there's different levels of hearing impaired. But I had an interpreter at one of my shows once, and I asked her because she had deaf parents and a lot of deaf friends. Doing the signing, they do the signing.
I'm thinking about it. Have you seen Cobra Enthusiasm, that episode?
Yes. Yeah. What happens I can't remember what.
He's doing a stage show called.
The producers.
No, it wasn't the producers, because he had a. What's the name on him? He had a. Where you get a threat is put on you.
Fatwa.
A fatwa. It was called. I think it was called Fatwa.
A fatwa.
And then they're rehearsing the musical.
Oh yeah,
number.
Fatwa the musical.
Yeah, Fatwa the musical.
Yeah, that was great.
And they had a woman doing signing.
Signing.
And she had a low cut dress on. She was revealing a fair bit, and everyone stopped watching the song and just watched her doing the signing.
Well, I'll tell you what, those signing people can sometimes.
Maybe we could get Sam to bring that little.
Yeah,
there's a little scene up. You can bring that. It is
a bit later.
I don't want to be woke here. Hang on, I want to be woke, but it is on topic.
It is on topic, but often they can steal the show though. Those signing people, because you'll be doing your stuff and they'll be getting huge laughs. And you're looking around and going, well, "What's going on?"
Does it throw you a bit?
Oh, a little bit, but I don't mind it. You know what? Sometimes your show would be struggling and it would save the show. Because they're so good.
Because I know when I'm watching television, and if someone's on their someone's on their phone and their hands are flicking around and moving, and you see it out of the corner of your eye, you see flashing light, you see hands moving, you see, you're going, that's putting me off.
Remember there was the Nelson Mandela thing where the guy was meant to be signing, but he didn't know what he was doing. He just said, yeah, I can sign. And it was like, what? What? But generally... that they appreciate if you get a signer and they put the word out.
I received I got the Supertext 2002 award for Russell Coit.
Oh, wow.
Supertext? Is that what it is?
Oh, really? So the deaf people liked you because you had all the thing on the screen?
Yeah, but I think it was
because... I've never heard of that award.
Well, I flipped to Sydney for it. It's the only award I've won.
You flipped to Sydney for it?
Yeah, I flipped to Sydney for it. Big deal.
And were there all deaf people there?
No. No, the people from the deaf industry.
Yeah.
Supertext industry. But because Russell Crowe is visual.
Yeah, see, that's a good show for deaf
slapstick.
People.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They talk about going to rock concerts and they feel the vibrations and stuff of rock concerts and the visual.
Well, my friend has just got hearing aids.
Yeah.
And he's moving into that. It's quite amazing.
How far off are you from the hearing aid?
Pardon?
How far? What? How far? Can you?
The joke never gets old, does it?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? My mum's got them. She never turns them on.
But here,
my mother-in-law's got them.
It's 2019.
Yeah.
So they link up to your phone.
Oh, I know. What about when they take a phone call?
Yeah.
And that goes through the hearing aid. You're like, who are you talking to?
How are you doing that? Yeah. That's like
voices in your head.
Yeah. Apparently, but there can be glitches with it, and they can sort of go a bit too loud in their ear.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But on his phone, and then say you're sitting at lunch and he'll pull his phone out and he'll start twiddling his knobs on his phone and he's just tuning into restaurant noise as opposed because when you go in from normal to into a restaurant, it bounces around. You've got to refocus it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which we can do naturally ourselves.
And that's all on your phone, on your little app.
Yeah, I saw him twiddling knobs and going, what are you doing? Sort of going, come on, focus, we're having lunch. I'm just tuning in the hearing aids.
Oh,
felt bad.
Isn't that great? Well, one of my friends went deaf in one ear due to an operation, but he said it was quite good. So he'd lie on his good ear at night and his wife would start talking to him and he'd go, oh, I've got to go to sleep. So he'd lie on his good ear and just fall asleep. She'd be talking away. He said it was perfect.
Because I have surfer's ear, which means that what it is that because you've surfed in cold water, bone has started to build up.
Oh,
so
surfer's ear.
Water goes in and it goes over the little bump, and so it sort of stays in the little pond that's been formed by the bump.
Do you have
bump.
Surfer's droop from all that cold water? Surely, I mean, you know, everyone talks about shrinkage. Surely, after doing it every week,
it's going to be permanent. I don't want to make this show boysy, but there was a time when I did take a photograph of it, and it looked like an alien. It looked up at me and said, "What are you doing to me?
What are you doing? Yeah,
this is too cold."
Well, I ask you a question: would you rather be deaf or blind?
That's didn't Hamish and Andy?
Oh, they did that great experiment
where one was deaf and one was blind, and it affected
really
Andy.
Freaked Andy out. He was blind.
Yeah,
he pretended to be blind,
so he got. He got.
I saw that episode. That was very good.
How long was it? How long was it for?
Like for 2 days, overnight. It was overnight. Yeah, because imagine. Yeah. So, what would you rather be?
Oh, look, it's a really tough one. My dad was profoundly deaf, and he always used to say, "It's okay to make fun of people who are blind, it's okay to make fun of people who are deaf, but you can't make fun of the blind." And I don't know whether that's necessarily true. Yeah. Can you make fun? People do make fun of. Blind,
well, again, Curb Your Enthusiasm had a great blind episode where the blind guy on the street asked him to move his furniture.
And he was a bit of an asshole.
Yeah, he was an asshole. He's ordering Larry around. Like,
I don't know. I'd probably lean the colour of life. I would probably lean towards deafness,
yeah,
I think.
Same
because
here. I
the
think
colour
same
of
here.
Life, and plus you can read to lose the. I mean, you can still read with Braille and so forth.
Yeah.
And I don't want to diminish anyone who's listening who may be. Because with a podcast, obviously.
Yeah, we get some blind people listening for sure. My uncle's blind, Uncle Kev, and he listens to a lot of radio. I don't know if he's got on a podcast yet, but he's always listening to the radio.
I can tell you now, this is a big statement, get your pens out.
Yeah.
I'm getting more out of podcasts than I am out of Netflix and television.
Wow.
I get more fiber in my diet.
Yeah. Well, podcasts are they're like a long conversation.
Yeah. Anyway. So, deaf. Wasn't there that great sketch that?
Oh, 9 o'clock news.
Oh, what was that?
It's not the 9 o'clock news with Rowan Atkinson and Mel Smith, and so they developed this new telephone for the deaf.
Yeah,
and because it doesn't ring, it just flashes a light, and they go through this whole introducing it and the light flash, and the deaf guy picks up the phone. He goes, "Hello," and they can't hear anything. It's a classic sketch. Love it. I love it.
So,
okay, well, deaf. Yeah, what can we say about deaf people?
Well,
I
get it. I got to say, I have upset the deaf people.
Oh, how did you upset them? Did you take the Mickey out of them in a sketch?
Well, I was at the airport one day and I was getting on an airplane, and a lady came up to me and handed me a piece of paper and said, "We the deaf find you highly offensive."
Why?
I don't know. I think they thought because he was, they were, I was generalising because Uncle Arthur was a bit.
Oh, Uncle Arthur had a hearing aid.
Had a hearing aid and he did.
He
silly,
did speak a bit like someone who had hearing problems.
And but, he was a bit stupid. Yes. He did silly things.
So he did that, speaking quite loud. That.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't know what to say. I couldn't say anything.
Well, I think, have we covered off deaf people?
Well, let me have a think. Yes, I think so.
We'll talk about wasabi next, but we'll go have a little break. Okay, we're back. And so wasabi.
Wasabi. Okay, here's a quick. What were you going to say?
I always think of that story of your mum.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah. Look, what?
It's wasabi.
When did you, you know, on Debrief you go, when did you first have wasabi?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I didn't have Japanese food.
Yeah,
the thing about Japanese food is that you can get it like in a mall in Wagga Wagga now, whereas 10 years ago you couldn't get it.
No.
You'd have to go into the city, wouldn't you, to go to a Japanese restaurant? Yeah. And I reckon I went on maybe a work function or something in the 80s maybe and someone said, try this. But I've been to Japan, whatever. You been to Japan?
I'm going there next year.
Oh, yeah, Japan's great. Japan's good because it's just so unusual.
They speak English?
Yeah. Well, if you get out of Tokyo, I was only in Tokyo.
I've heard Tokyo's fantastic. Tokyo's but very great. Expensive.
Expensive, but and very friendly. And you just walk around. It's just fascinating because it's not like here. It's just different from here. Whereas, you know, when you go to England or Ireland or America, you go, oh, it's kind of similar to here.
Yeah, it's like here a lot. Yeah,
Tokyo's not.
Because I reckon when I first tried wasabi, I thought it was pretty special.
Oh, really?
And you know, and then there's that thing where you go, oh, yeah, a bit of wasabi, mix it up with my soy, and you show off a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You're just flipping it around.
It's always impressive when you go to an ethnic restaurant and one person knows what they're doing, with the chopsticks or, hang on, I'll order this now. I'm going to order for everyone because I've been to the Mongolian restaurant before. Like, oh, God, here we go.
Do you mind if I order in Mongolian? Oh, yeah, okay, fire away.
Are you a sharer or are you like, just give me my plate of stuff?
Oh, having said that, I love it when people take over because I'll just go back to being a schnitzel. I'll just have a schnitzel and chips. So if someone goes, you should try this, you should try that, then I go, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm quite happy for them to know what the...
Yeah, and there's something I'd love you to try, and this is really nice.
When we worked on Full Frontal and we were based at Channel 10 at Nunawading, I don't know if you were working on it at that stage.
No, I
you might have bailed.
I've worked at Nunawading a lot, though.
Oh, you've worked
at
Nunawading.
Comedy Company, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Prisoner.
We used to hang out with Prisoner and Neighbours. In the lineup, you had the Neighbours people.
I know,
had
canteen. It was great. Yeah. It's like Hollywood in Nunawading. Anyway, and there was like a Chinese restaurant down the road. I think it's still there. But it's like a serious Chinese restaurant for Chinese people. You know, occasionally get those restaurants.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, where they're kind of pretty simple, but they pack a wallop.
Oh, yeah. All the signs are in Chinese.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were all there, and one of the comedians, Duff, you might remember Duff. And
he was a prop cop.
Yeah, he was a prop comic. Yeah. And he ordered a chicken leg, but not like a drumstick, like the other end of the leg with the three prongs, the foot, the chicken foot.
Oh, the chicken feet.
Yeah.
Cathay Night does those.
Yeah, yeah. Cathay really?
Kim, yeah.
And anyway, the waiter goes, it's bad luck to order one. You have to order two. And he's like, oh, right. Oh, okay. All right. All right. I'll get two then. And so the waiter brings them out and he starts eating them. Then all the staff gather around and start laughing. That's the joke they do on Westerners.
Oh, really?
Yes. All pointing at him. Oh, look at him. He's eating two chicken feet.
And did he know?
Like, oh, okay. All right. No, no one knew. No, none of us were Chinese.
I just got to... When an animal resembles what it is.
Oh, no, hideous. Like when you see a pig's head, hideous.
I mean, I don't want a whole fish on the plate.
Yeah, I don't even like it when I get a chicken and it's got bits of feathers sticking out of the
skin. Yeah, you're going, now you're resembling what you are. I just want to eat you.
You don't like a whole fish on the plate?
No.
No, nor do I.
Look at that eye staring up at you going, how dare you eat me?
Horrific.
Yeah. As I said, we talk about quotable quotes. If you get all the right cuts of meat, you can put a cow back together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get that on a poster one day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it means.
But well, I went to a farmer's market the other day, Glenn. And
again, you felt a little bit more important than everybody else.
Yeah,
didn't you?
You walk around in your Birkenstocks and, you know, with your mohair jumper, whatever they wear. And the guy, the butcher, was showing me a brisket because he said these used to be a really cheap cut of meat. And now it's just really very trendy, the brisket, because the brisket's like your chest. I think it's the chest, isn't it, or something of the cow? Anyway, wasabi. I can't remember when I first.
No, I was just going to say, do you reckon if the cows could get together and go, they're loving our cheeks? Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
I mean, what? So the cow cheek is.
Is it the bum or the actual cheek?
Oh, you think it's. Surely it's not the bum.
Should we ask Sam?
Oh, it's got to be on the face. It's got to be that.
I don't know.
No.
Sam, where does the beef cheeks come from? What part of the body?
The beef cheek comes from the facial muscle of the cow.
There you go.
I was hoping it was going to be the bum.
But why would they call it?
Cheeks? Bum cheeks?
They would call it. They would give it a refined name.
What bits left of the cow that we haven't used? I mean, the brisket, this butcher was saying, farmer who butchered. Yeah, he was saying the brisket is a new thing for hipsters to eat.
Well, you can go to shops in certain parts of all big cities, get offal.
Oh, yeah.
Offal. You'd have to question the tail. Has the tail been...
Yeah, that's ox tongue. Oh, they have the tongue, don't they?
You can eat penis and balls, can't you?
Yeah, I've had...
Oh.
We had Gabriel Gattai, or was the cooking up... Oh, I think it was bull's testicles.
What about anus?
Oh.
Seriously.
I know. Well, I'm sure it gets eaten somewhere around the world.
Because they fit on a shish kebab pretty easily.
Yeah. Well, this fits very snugly. Which part of the sheep cow is this?
And you don't eat, like, sheep's organs. I mean, you eat sheep's organs, don't you?
Yeah, brains, but not sheep's brains.
Sheep's brains, is it liver?
Liver, kidney.
Ugh.
Oh, that's disgusting. Oh. Remember you'd have it in the 70s and your mum would say it's good for you, like lamb's brains? It was like, oh.
Yeah.
My mum used to crumb it, I think.
Crumb it, and then if it wasn't anything, always put it on toast again. Just putting it on toast doesn't make it more edible. Anyway, wasabi. Yes. Wasabi.
Well, it
smells like horseradish, doesn't it?
Yeah, it must be a mustard. Is it like a bit of the mustard family, wasabi? It's interesting. My partner doesn't like any hot stuff, but she likes wasabi.
So, but that chili is different to wasabi.
It must be different.
So she doesn't like hot, but she likes wasabi. But
she doesn't like chili.
Because I think maybe wasabi you feel more in the nose, do you?
Yeah, I reckon.
And with the chili you feel more in your, where do you feel it? In your mouth? In your throat?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I did read this once about people, you know, they have those chili eating competitions.
Oh, yeah, ridiculous.
And can you die from eating a chili?
Yeah.
You can't die, but it can make you a little bit sick. It can't actually kill you.
And do you know about wasabi the next day as you do with chili?
No, does it? I heat good chili.
Burning.
Good curry heats you twice. That's what.
No, meaning burning ring of fire.
Oh, oof!
Don't you? Oh, look, I don't want to get.
No, too, I don't eat wasabi. I like mustard.
Yeah, I don't. I eat a little.
I don't like chili much. I like mild chili. I like sweet chili.
You're an old curry man.
Yeah, I like curry.
You like curry, which is like your lighter end of the pool, isn't it? Curry.
I had like a. From the farmer's market again. I had a tandoori chicken pie yesterday. Oh, beautiful.
Isn't it dangerous, though, doing
what,
that?
What?
A tandoori chicken pie. What's going in there? It's like eating a chico roll. I mean, chico rolls all right because it's probably just cabbage, but...
And some sort of meat. Oh, no, I don't know.
It's a gamble, isn't it?
I'm at the farmer's market. There's a gourmet pie truck.
Oh, it's okay.
You have to imagine it's not... It's from the 7-Eleven.
So wasabi
and your mum. Remember
my mum.
Yeah,
yes. Your generation would be the same. We took mum to a Japanese restaurant she'd never been before, and she would have been late 80s. Always takes on a challenge. My mum, she's really good, and so we're sitting there and we're going. These are the chopsticks. She hadn't used one of those. So we had to get a fork, which is fine. Sometimes I get a fork.
I use a fork.
Yeah, I mean seriously, if you want to get something in quick. It's hard, you know, when there's one thing left in the communal bowl and you're chasing it with the chopsticks.
But as I say to the kids, if you see a Chinese person eating with chopsticks, they get the bowl close to their face.
Yeah, they almost flick it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good. Anyway, so she got a fork. And then we're going, this fish here, it's raw, but it's fine because, you're going to eat some... You're going to have some ginger with it. That's going to kill any germs that might... Oh, okay. And this is wasabi. And we kind of went, and this is wasabi. and moved on pretty quickly. I didn't say anything about it. So then we go, anyway, away you go. So she sees the green blob of wasabi, gets her chopsticks, thinking it's avocado.
Oh, yes.
And gone whole block in the mouth. And we're both gone, spit it out. The whole restaurant turned around. And here's this 89-year-old woman going, spits it, hits the table like a bullet. And I go, thank God for that. Because if she'd taken that in, we'd be calling an ambulance.
Oh, man.
She would keel over. Because I know when I've been got slightly, it takes your breath away. You're going, got to take a moment. I just got to take a moment.
It reminds me of a practical joke that Kate Lambrook played on Husey.
Oh, no.
So every morning we would do breakfast radio on Nova, and she would make her own breakfast and go, would you like some Husey? He's like, yeah, mate, whatever you're having, I'll have some. And so it became this thing where she had to make his breakfast.
Mm.
Then, of course, she got resentful. Right.
Because she had to make it every day.
She had to make his breakfast. So she got some. She came in and she goes, would you like some avocado on toast? He's like, oh, yeah, lovely. And so she got wasabi, spread it on, gave it to him, and the look on his face.
Because he would have taken it, because when you go taste, you go
a huge bite.
A huge bite. And it looked, when it's on thick, man, it would look real. It would look just like avocado. Oh,
it was pretty funny, but it was pretty. She was the worst practical joker. You know what she did to me
once? I'm
not big
on practical jokes.
She would have done one on you, surely, over the years. You know what she did with me? She put her parking ticket on my car, and I paid the fine.
Mm. Yeah. There's a place for,
she did that one on Husey, and it's always on April Fool's Day. The guy delivered a summons for child support, saying that this woman had had a child with Husey 14 years ago, and had the name of a girl that he went out with briefly on the bit of paper.
He must have gone white.
So he's in the front yard. He's going, Sandra Smith. Oh my God,
this could destroy me.
But Husey, this year on April 1st, he goes to me, I'm going to do this gig for this guy. Apparently, he just got out of jail, and it's like a cash. I'm going to this bloke's house, and I've got to. They want me to meet him and do a gig for him and his friends, and. I put down, I'm like, that sounds really weird, Husey, on a Monday at like midday, going to some house in some area. Yeah. I put down my phone, I look at the date, 1st of April. I'm like,
you got him.
They got him. But he actually went into the house and he just said, and he said they had a camera. And again, it was Kate Langbrook.
Yeah.
But he actually twigged.
So it was all for the radio. I saw this shitty one recently.
All for the radio.
Because she lives in Italy now.
Yeah.
And then she flew back in.
And surprised him, yeah.
And his reaction was, I can't do the voice. But it wasn't a big reaction.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. It was all like, you go, she's flown halfway around the world.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, what's going on?
Anyway, she loves a practical joke.
I'll tell you something about wasabi.
Yeah, wasabi gone.
That you might like to know.
Yeah, I love facts.
It's an anti-inflammatory.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. I should eat some for my knee that occasionally flares up.
Because, if you take, those, what's Nurofen? What are those?
Yeah.
What's the name for it?
I don't know what they're called. Paracetamol, but there's another name. They're not paracetamol. There's something different.
Yeah.
The ones I used to take were taken off the market because they were giving people heart attacks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so I must admit.
It's always good to see a medicine getting taken off the market that you've taken.
I take an anti-inflammatory, and I got to say, the next day, I'm feeling crackerjack.
Yeah, that's right.
You feel real good.
When I had my knee thing, the guy goes, oh, look, I know. As a physio or something, goes, you should come with me. I go to my vet, and he gives me an injection.
I know.
From the vet. The vet gives him an injection.
And now he pisses,
that's good.
Pisses on trees and craps in the back. Gets up and you go around and visit him, he starts having sex with your leg. So it's probably worth noting any sort of anti-inflammatory. And there's a lot of quick thing. If you look up things on the internet, there's a lot of things that come up. Oh, anti-inflammatory, like this vitamin, that vitamin. I know that turmeric is, I think, I'm not sure. I thought that was a pretty good anti-inflammatory. So anyway, it's just worth knowing next time you're out.
Wasabi. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we should have some thinking music, shouldn't we?
We've been going
we
should. On for a while.
Yeah, thinking music. We'll play that sketch, a bit of Larry David.
From the last series of the signing woman who was distracting the people watching the show.
Yeah, a bit of signing. Here we go.
It was good. Too bad you missed it.
No, I saw it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Tina, you're a star. Thank you.
Hey, Larry, can I talk to you for a sec? I feel like the number's not working.
Oh, you know why it's not working?
Why?
Because everybody's looking at her tits, that's why.
What?
Bill didn't see 10 seconds of that number. He was staring at her the whole time, as was every other guy in the audience.
It's just the reasons he's getting kicked out of the house are so fucking petty.
No, I completely disagree with you. Look, he's a terrible house guest. His life depends on his being a good house guest. He's a pig, doesn't do the dishes. That's funny.
Maybe we just need different reasons.
Okay, I'll come up with some other reasons. How's that?
Okay.
It's not going to work anyway.
Why not?
Because men will look at tits over anything. You could be in the last inning of the World Series, a 3-2 score, bases loaded, somebody changed the channel and there's tits on, they will not go back to the World Series.
We are on the verge of making a great musical and you're scapegoating tits. It's the scene.
No, it's the tits.
It's the scene.
Tits.
Scene.
Tits.
Scene.
Tits.
Scene.
Tits.
Scene. And she stays.
Yeah, it's a very funny show. Probably one of my favorite shows, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you met Larry David or you ever met Larry David?
I want to, but almost don't want to.
Yeah.
Because you know I met Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, disappointing.
Well, look, I can't say it was just maybe because of the people that were around him made it hard.
Yeah, the entourage.
Yeah.
I met Alexis Sale twice.
No, Alexis Sale met you.
That's right. He was nice. See, he was one of my heroes back in the 80s and 90s.
He was okay.
He was great.
Pretty low key though, wasn't he?
The thing about him is that when you see his like act, he's like, "Hello, John, got new motor. Hello, John." He's got
a
Scouser accent too.
Yeah,
but he's actually a Liverpoolian, so he sounds like that. He sounds like Ringo. He's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm almost 70 now, and I've been doing a bit of stand up, you know, and I live on the same street as Boris Johnson. It's really annoying." He was telling me.
Meeting Jason, name dropping now. Jason, because I toured with Jason.
You toured with George from Seinfeld.
Around the country.
I met Kramer. Anyway, whatever.
You met Kramer?
I met Kramer. Yeah, he came into the radio studio one day. He was nice.
Did he come into Australia?
Yes.
To do what?
Oh, he was promoting sunglasses or something.
Oh,
Someone has obviously paid him a lot of money to come out and talk about, I think it was sunglasses.
Because his persona he's quite intense, but very likable, yeah?
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
He came in on breakfast radio and got in, and people had said, "Oh, he's a bit crap" or whatever. And they made fun of him on some of the radio stations.
Because he's not a traditional stand-up.
He's not a character. He's an actor. He's playing a character.
Yeah.
But we had a good laugh. Just hearing him speak and, you know, we had a good time.
Well, Jason Alexander, he's wanting to be George, and he's not George. He's a song and dance man.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy to be around, but he's not fun. But we were staying in a hotel and we were having a coffee the following morning after the show and we were sitting opposite each other and I thought to myself, yeah, we're having exactly the same conversation that Jerry.
You're Jerry.
I was Jerry. And he was talking about, I won't say what he was talking about, but it was probably not appropriate. And then something happened on the final night. No, I can't talk about that. No, what happens on tour stays on tour. Anyway, so right, now well, is the part.
Yes. Do you have an idea or?
Well, here's what I think. I think wasabi has a strong smell. And I think it's quite a dangerous food.
Oh.
So I think wasabi has its strong smell to warn deaf people. Hang on. Does that make sense?
I think, do you want me to go? Yeah, so you think it's got something to do with?
It's got something to do with the smell and the fact that if you smell it, you know it's dangerous. In other words, if you got some, you wouldn't eat it. You'd know that it was a bad thing. Well, it's like a piece of shit. You don't eat shit because it smells bad.
I'm going to say I think maybe deaf people don't eat wasabi because I think they've got a heightened sense of smell because of their this happens with blind people.
It shifts over.
Yeah, blind people have got a very heightened sense of hearing. Nice.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I reckon maybe they can't eat wasabi because it's just too full on.
So, and if your nose is heightened, then and you do feel it in the nose.
Oh, man. Do you feel them?
I think we're sort of in the same realm.
I think we are.
Yeah.
Sam, you there? What is it? Sam?
Sam fell over.
What are you there? What is the answer?
Scientists in Japan created a fire alarm for deaf people. People are alerted of an emergency fire by a cloud of wasabi particles. Wasabi was chosen from hundreds of smells for its ability to irritate people and even wake them up during sleep. The Japanese team was awarded an Ig Nobel Prize for Chemistry back in 2011.
Oh, well, we're on.
You were right. No, you were right.
On track.
You were really close. You didn't say fire alarm, but you said something to alarm them or something.
So, in other words, you're sitting at home. But hang on, wouldn't they see the smoke?
You know what they say? When a fire starts at night, you don't feel it.
So, it's like you're in bed. Boiled. You're in bed. You can't hear, right?
You can see.
You can see, but you're asleep.
Yeah.
So the fire alarm goes, pss, 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 pss. You go, wasabi.
Wasabi.
There's
a fire.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
The problem is, though, I think you would end up putting wasabi into your dream. You'd start dreaming that you're a Japanese restaurant.
Or you go into a restaurant, especially if you're in Japan, there's wasabi everywhere.
But can't you... What's so special about wasabi in... Does that cut through, do you think?
It must cut through.
So surely you can put any smell in there.
Compared to like lavender or patchouli.
What about aftershave that men wear?
No, it's terrible.
Isn't that terrible?
Do you wear aftershave? Do you wear aftershave?
No, for that very reason. Because it stinks. I have a friend who puts it on with a fire hose, and I tell him, I can't breathe. You're taking my breath away.
Oh man, we get tradies coming over, and like, and my wife comes over and goes, "Oh, has John the handyman been here?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "I can smell the aftershave." And the kids call it John Pong now.
John.
The new aftershave.
So I don't know. Did they win something?
Sam said they won a Nobel Peace Prize.
I have not been to Bunnings and seen the wasabi.
I'm going to try and order it the next time I'm in there. Sorry, guys. You got the... Hey, I don't know. Where the fire alarm stand?
And wonder how they... It must come out as a little spray or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they won... You know when sometimes they win these awards but the things don't go anywhere? You know what I mean? You can win awards for innovative ideas that often don't get developed.
Because used to those things in public toilets where you would walk in... And after a certain amount, I'd do a little spray. Remember that?
Yes.
I haven't seen none of those. Because a friend of mine, he was a salesman for that.
Oh, what? For Ambifresh or whatever they were called. Yes. Oh, my God.
How's it going? Yeah, it's all going.
But it's like, remember when you're in the 70s, the 80s, you go around one of your friends' house and they had a blue toilet? They had that blue stuff in the toilet?
It was so trendy.
Oh.
But don't you... What happened to that? You know what's interesting, though? What colours... Because I thought about this the other day. I just got a new credit card.
Yep.
We can wrap it up. And I've gone from a silver up to a darker silver. And I felt a bit special.
Yeah.
But then someone said, I'll get the drinks. And they gave me their credit card. It was a black one.
Oh, they're cool. Yeah, the black MasterCard or the black.
It's amazing how much status there is in colour. So if your toilet's blue, I'm going, well, got to be honest, my toilet's cleaner than your toilet.
Yeah.
Mine's blue.
And you're more at market than our house.
Yeah, yeah. See, I don't agree with, because there's one you can get where you have a little blob on the wall of the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that one? Yeah. It's called a duct or something.
Yeah.
And it goes blob and it sticks there for some time.
Ugh.
And it makes it go, you're going.
What about when you went around to someone's house and they had a furry toilet seat? Remember your nana had one of those furry toilets.
It's just real, and a furry floor mat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, disgusting. Yes. Disgusting. Now, my mother-in-law had a new toilet put in her a little flat in Dalesford, and she's got a warm toilet seat.
See, I find that repulsive.
You don't like that?
Maybe because it makes it... Well, so, there is nothing worse than going to a public toilet because you have to go and it's warm.
I don't want to be reminded that there's
someone else has been in there.
Yes. Well, what about the first time you sit on a car seat that's warmed? You know, the first time I saw one,
yeah.
Andrew Knight, who was in charge of Full Frontal and he wrote Sea Change, he would occasionally give me and someone a lift home in his Saab.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd sit there and my friend goes, I think I've weed my pants. I'm getting all warm in the pants. It's like the
lose control. You lose control.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.